Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. I'm feeling quite bright actually, because I actually got to go out, and it makes such a difference, doesn't it? I mean, I know I've had a couple of retreats and things, but I haven't had a lot of, entertainment in my life for the last year and a half. I don't think anyone has. And I got to go out. It was just the most fantastic occasion, going to see the Giffords Circus. Some of you will know about Giffords. It's the word circus is not quite a fit, because it makes you think of something very old style, whereas Giffords is a family run circus. It's so difficult to describe. It's completely theatrical. They have a live band. There's comedy involved. The costumes are incredible. It's just magical. If you get a chance to see it, do go and see it. The show's called The Hooli, and it's across. They tend to do their shows across the Cotswolds and the South for right through the summer. Really, if you're lucky enough to get down to see a show, it's just brilliant. And it was just wonderful to, just to be out, really, and meet people that I haven't seen in ages, a few people from Radio 2 that I haven't seen in a long while. So that really lifts your spirits. And what was interesting, and kind of one of the reasons I mentioned it, is because I only realised I was going a few days before, and I had these kind of murmurings of, oh, shall I go, shan't I go? And it was really interesting to kind of notice that there was an element of well, can't be asked, you know, it was the old CBA coming in. And I really had to kind of check myself. And I thought, my goodness, I don't want my life to, I don't want everything to implode and get smaller. And I think that's happened for so many people. I think we've had so much fear instilled into us in the last year and a half. Fear of everything, practically fear of our own shadow. And I think the end result has been that many people have become, fearful, obviously, but also just a little bit sort of complacent. And, you know, let's face it, it's easier, isn't it, just to stay with your PJ bottoms on and just put your top on for Zoom. It's that, I mean, this is a naffest cliche ever, but it's that phrase, isn't it, that, you know, ships are safe in harbour, but ships weren't built to stay in harbour, right? I'm incredibly glad that I was able to kick myself up the backside and go out, it really does lift your spirits to see something, you know, inspirational and fun and just to meet other people. So anyways, don't get me started. I'm not going to get going on the whole issues with the arts right now. If you get an opportunity, just step out of your comfort zone. I suppose that's what I'm saying, really. And of course, it's different for absolutely everybody. There was a really interesting post on the Sober Club this week, which I thought I'd share with you, obviously not naming names, but I just found it really interesting that someone posted that they were, I think, I forget, something like 65 days sober, so, you know, a good few couple of months into sobriety, and yet still feeling, well, her expression was flat as a pancake, you know, on this kind of emotional roller coaster, feeling quite fearful, being sometimes blindsided by stuff that comes up, memories, sort of old traumas, not sleeping well at all. Despite that, recognizing so many amazing benefits, you know, she listed a whole bunch of incredible benefits that she's found from being sober, but just this this sort of lack of stability, lack of balance, and, you know, she was just saying, is it normal? And the answer is, it is completely normal to feel that way. It really is. And again, it's different timing for everyone. Some people do manage to rock straight into this very quickly. But for most of us, you know, if you've been drinking for years and you stop, this is not just about what you're putting in your mouth. It really isn't. You know, it's about everything else. It's about that emotional and physical well-being. And as I said in my reply, you know, we in the first few months, possibly the first year, I really believe we have to focus on just recovery, in inverted commas. I know that word means different things depending on, you know, what kind of scene you're involved in. But what I mean by that is really, you know, your sort of physical and emotional health and putting in the self-care, because, you know, there's no doubt your brain chemistry will be massively out of whack. Even at 65 days, it's very likely that you still, you know, you're not sorted in the serotonin and the GABA department and the dopamine. So, you know, eating really well, good nutrition is so key to all of this. Putting the good self-care in place, and also just starting to become aware that actually none of us are very good with dealing with emotions, because we haven't had to deal with them in years, because we just pushed it all away, we just numbed out, right, for so long whenever anything difficult cropped up. So we do have to start to accept, okay, so I'm feeling like this. What is this emotion trying to show me? And I know I've referenced it so many times, but if you haven't heard it already, go back and listen to my interview with the brilliant author Carla McLaren on embracing emotions. It really is such an insightful conversation. And she really encourages us. She's the author of Embracing Anxiety. And she encourages us to look at the emotions that are coming up, that are coming up for us. And rather than try and push the ones away that we don't like, oh, that's fear, that's anxiety, that's, you know, that's jealousy, that whatever, rather than just push them away, just look at it and actually ask, what is the reason for this? You know, with anxiety, for example, she says we should welcome it, because the emotion is showing us that something has to change. And often it's about overwhelm. Often it's about, you know, we have too much to do. So of course we feel anxious. And in this instance, you know, there's obviously some trauma going on, and there is for so many people trauma from childhood, and we've pushed it away. We've literally pushed it away and tucked it down deep somewhere. Now, I'm not saying that this is a time to bring it all forward and deal with it, because I actually don't think it is. I think for most people, you know, that you need a little longer. You need to really be settled into your sober shoes before you start digging into, you know, deep therapeutic stuff. I think journaling is brilliant, you know, just let it all out, release it all out onto paper, preferably handwritten. That's a gentle way to start releasing. But I do think that if you're feeling flat, if you're at this stage where you ditch the booze and, you know, you feel you're recognizing the benefits, but there's a sense of, oh my goodness, when will I start to feel better? When will I be able to manage my own emotions more efficiently? The answer is you will. It will happen. You really have to bring in some patience and just focus on the benefits. Stay inspired, stay connected. You know, do join us in the Sober Club, or find a group that jives with you. And then you can share all these emotions and share what's coming up. And you know, you're not the only one. And that's a massive part of it, isn't it? Knowing that others have walked the same path. It really is such an important part of it all. Talking about eating well and good nutrition and supporting your emotional health nutritionally, you're going to love my guest this week, who is a clinical nutritionist. But just before we get onto that, I have a massive favour to ask everyone who listens to the podcast. I've entered the podcast into the British Podcast Awards and just realised that they have a Listener's Choice Award. I don't hold out any hope of you know, charting in an award, because I don't know. I just don't. You know, this podcast is just me, and there's no budget and there's no publisher, and, you know, it's my kind of labour of love. But as you know, if you've been listening for a long time, I haven't missed a week in whatever it is, two and a bit years. It regularly charts in the Apple mental health chart, so I'm super proud of that. And you know, I love bringing you these great guests and you know, helping to share my enthusiasm and my passion for positive sobriety and everything that it means. So it would mean a huge amount to me if you would be willing to vote for Alcohol Free Life Podcast from the Sober Club, or Alcohol Free Life Podcast Genuinely Grace. That's what you have to type. So what you have to do is go to BritishPodcastAwards.com, BritishPodcastAwards.com, and go to the menu and click on Listener's Choice. And then this little box comes up and you write the name of the podcast in the box. Be careful because there's a few similar names. So it's Alcohol Free Life Podcast - Genuinely Grace. And then just pop the name of it there. And then the important bit, which everyone forgets, is that you have to add your email address. They send you an email to verify that this is your vote. And then you just have to click it. And that's it, job done. So it's a couple of minutes, and it would mean so much to me. The link, if you want to go straight to the link, will be in the show notes for this podcast. So thank you in advance. I would really, really appreciate that. Must also remind you as well that I've got my little retreat days. It's about visioning the new you. It doesn't matter whether you are sober curious or been sober for 10 years. It's about self-care and finding what's keeping you stuck. And we're going to do some wonderful wonderful inspirational bits of stuff, I think, that will keep you inspired. So they're in Essex, Sober by the Sea, Vision the New You events. And I think we have one place left at the moment on July 25th. We have another date in August. I think it's August 21st. These dates are flexible. So if we don't get enough people, we'll just switch them around. So just get in contact if it sounds like it's something of interest for you. And we'll give you some more information. The link again is in the show notes, or you can go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. These are tiny, intimate little workshops, really. So very small number of people, and there'll be some one-to-one time in there as well. It'd be great to meet up with more people who listen to the podcast and who are interested in just upscaling what they do. Also have a Champneys retreat in September, and again we'll put more dates in for the autumn. So let me introduce you to my guest. I never tire of talking about health and well-being and nutrition. And Susie Sawyer is a clinical nutritionist for Feel Alive UK. And she's so knowledgeable, and you might need to grab yourself a pen and paper while you listen to this. Susie Sawyer. We're talking supplementation and good health and nutrition. And my guest is Susie Sawyer, clinical nutritionist for Alive. Susie, thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Lovely to be
here. Yeah, there's so much we could talk about. I mean, so many different angles. And I'm, kind of really fascinated by all of it, over the years I've sort of done lots of training and bits and bobs around nutrition, but I'm not a nutritionist, and I certainly don't have your level of expertise. So I'm going to be throwing so many questions at you. I'm going to have to try and stop myself from this lasting 3 hours. Tell me a little bit about your background and what you do, and then we'll dig deeper.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been a clinical nutritionist for 20 years, and I've worked with the Alive brand for around 10 years. So I'm a UK formulator for food supplements, but I also work as a clinical nutritionist. So, my work is very varied, and the things have changed a lot in that time as well. So, I think what's changed mostly, actually, is that there's much more information out there, but people are getting confused. So there's so much information, but they don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
Therefore, they often get demotivated and are not really quite sure what to do. Mm-hmm. And that actually then has a negative impact on health. Mm-hmm. So that's changed a lot since, I first trained 20 years ago. But also, what we look at now, it's all research-based. We absolutely look at what the research is telling us and everything. And we also look at national diet and nutrition surveys, because what we know from those is that we are very nutrient depleted as a nation. Mm. And those figures haven't got any better in the last 10 years, really.
Mm. No, but absolutely.
There's this wealth and abundance of food and this availability of food. And, you know, everybody's, you know, eating and doing really well. But actually, that's not the case. Mm. And when we look deeply at the stats, you know, we see that that's not the case. And that's why, you know, supplementation is important. You know, it doesn't replace a diet, but it underpins what we're not getting in the daily diet and these nutrient deficiencies that we know exist, you know, with certain B vitamins. And a lot of these, like micronutrients, you know, the minerals, particularly magnesium, iodine, iron. You know, we know young girls are also very deficient in folate, and I'm sure you appreciate folate.
Yeah, needed for fertility.
Fertility. So, you know, what this is also affecting is the health of the future generations.
No, absolutely. I mean, I saw a piece, it was just a few days ago in one of the mainstream, you know, newspapers about the issues with, you know, children and teenagers sort of eating a diet of junk food, you know, that sort of rises in obesity and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's actually like an addiction now. And, you know, when I sounded like my maiden aunt now, but, you know, back in the day, that stuff wasn't available. It wasn't that I was holier than thou and choosing lettuce. There wasn't, you know, the ability to sort of have a burger four times a week on the way back from school when I was that age. And actually what we're growing is a nation of people who are kind of overfed. They're overfed, but they're undernourished, right? It's a real dilemma because unfortunately, you can't blame the kids, can you, really? Because ultimately, this is down to the kind of food industry who are, you know, marketing this stuff at us, which a lot of it isn't really food.
Exactly that. And people don't realise that either. You know, a lot of this refined food, if you go to the supermarket, it's aisles and aisles of refined food, isn't it? Already, you know, prepackaged. But a lot of it, you can't really. It's very nutrient depleted.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem. And, you know, there's not enough fiber in there. You know, all of these, you know, the essential nutrients. I mean, the body needs 45 nutrients in a day. That includes water. Mm. And that includes the macronutrients, the micronutrients, antioxidants. So that's, you know, how many people are actually getting that? And of course, pile on top of that, I mean, obviously the last year and a half, whatever it's been, it seems the time's gone.
Forever.
Exactly. The stress levels have gone, you know, stratospheric, and that, therefore people, you know, the more stressed you are, the more you're burning up nutrients, you know, so the whole thing. And of course, then people are using delivery apps. You know, that's been, you know, quite a big thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, many of the people I work with have, you know, found that they've been drinking more or, you know, or even if they've stopped drinking, which thankfully some people managed to kind of catch it in lockdown and actually have sobriety as their legacy, which has been wonderful. But then, of course, that leads into another whole chain of events where you start to see what's been going on. You know, your body kind of just, you know, pushes on through. But then when you stop drinking, you really get to notice some of those deficiencies. We'll get into that later, but before we do, I just want to ask you about sleep, because, you know, again, it's almost like we're a nation with a deficient, you know, a sort of massive deficiency in sleep. So what's that about? What's really going on there?
Well, a lot of it is down to stress, I believe. There's a lot of factors with sleep, as you I'm sure you know. A lot of it is stress related. So let's look at like cortisol levels, for example. So when we're very stressed, our cortisol levels rise, and that then stops us from sleeping. So what we should have, as you know, higher cortisol levels in the morning, lower in the evening. But what I see when I test people's cortisol levels, sometimes I see graphs going completely the opposite direction. So we've got very low levels in the morning. People can't get out of bed, and then they're more at night, and then they can't sleep. Or I get flat lines, so people are chronically fatigued. But equally, you get that sort of tired and wired people as well. You know, so they're exhausted, but they're then running on, you know, caffeine and adrenaline. So there's that kind of situation going on. But then with stress brings anxiety. So that also, you know, stops us sleeping. That, you know, causes all sorts of issues. High cortisol levels mean that you wake up early in the morning, because cortisol levels should naturally rise at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And then that's how it all kind of works then throughout the day. So often people wake up early and can't get back to sleep. But also when people are nutrient depleted, they're not producing the hormones needed to produce like melatonin, for example, the sleep hormone. So serotonin, our happy hormone, most of it is produced in the gut. So the gut needs to be in good shape for that to happen. We need to have the good gut microbiome. And we also need sufficient B vitamins and other nutrients to produce that serotonin, which then goes on to produce melatonin, which is the sleep hormone. So there's all sorts of things going on, you know, when there's such a big connection, of course, between the gut and brain.
Yeah.
You know, if people have things aren't right within their digestive system, and, you know, that's probably, I see that more than anything, is the digestive problems, then they're not, what's going on in their brain is not going to be right. And that's also going to be affecting their sleep. So it has become, you know, even worse through lockdown. And we know from our stats that it hasn't, it's much, much worse. And I think that's down to anxiety. A lot of the reports say that people were worried. You know, obviously, people are worried about going out. People are worried about catching COVID. People are worried about getting food. People are worried about their jobs. So things have become even worse. And I think, you know, the other thing, we don't have a very good work-life balance, really. I've always said this in the UK. And I think, I don't know whether that's got better or worse because of what's happened in the last year. So people are constantly on alert. And that means the body is constantly on alert. You know, this 24/7 is always on, isn't it? We're always switched on.
Yeah.
And the whole, you know, with phones, computers, we're never free of it. And I honestly believe that that's also been a massive factor in how it affects our sleep.
Well, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, for a lot of people, you know, there's been this idea of, you know, working from home over the last hour for many months. But a lot of people have turned that into living at work, you know, because there really isn't very much definition between your working day and your evening. So it tends to just roll on in. And I mean, I'm very guilty of that. I'm often answering emails at 11:30 at night. Ridiculous, you know, actually ridiculous. Yes. But we have to check ourselves. And of course, that's not really how our body clock was designed, was it? You know, we're meant to kind of, and when the light, you know, when the light goes down, hunker down a bit. But
and that's why the done. Go down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is saying to us, but of course we're going completely against what the body wants us to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, obviously it's a massive question, because as you say, you know, all of these things interact and et cetera. But I think most of us are aware that you know, let's start from the place of good food, okay, real food. So, you know, if you had to, I don't know, in a couple of sentences, give us your prescription for that, you know, what would it be? What can we all kind of make sure that we're getting generically?
I think three things. Sufficient protein, so good protein at every meal. A low glycemic diet. So I'm sure most people have heard of the glycemic index. So foods that are not going to exacerbate blood sugar, they're released much slower into the bloodstream. So they produce energy in a much more slow and sustained way, and a rainbow diet, colour. Everything is about colour.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the protein with every meal. You know, I find that people who, when you ditch the booze and you've got all those, you know, it takes ages for everything to kind of properly recalibrate. And often we forget, the amount of people I work with who just completely forget to eat properly. They stop drinking and then something in their mind says, oh, I think I might as well lose a few pounds. So they kind of stop eating the right food as well and try and survive on a few lettuce leaves. And it all goes bad real quick.
Sure.
It
takes a long time as well to replenish.
Exactly.
If you're depleted, it can take months.
Yeah, years. Absolutely. And on that note, you know, the sleep is often really difficult, but because, you know, you're not sort of crashing out from drinking anymore. So you can be lying there bolt wide awake. wondering what's going on. But yeah, that's a great start on the food. And then when it comes to the supplementation, then again, you know, we have this thing where most people know about supplements now, or they've read stuff, or they've been recommended to stuff. But really, the truth of it is, and I've been saying this for years, if you kind of went along with absolutely everything you read, you would be rattling. You know, you'd have 100 different tablets to take every day. You'd be absolutely rattling. And would they really be doing you any good? So, you know, how do we differentiate between, you know, what we need? Are there supplements that you believe we all need, particularly, you know, as we're getting older, perhaps? And are there things that it's really important to have that kind of bespoke consultation?
Well, certainly, of course, you know, a nutritionist can put you on the right tracks. And I mean, I remember before I trained as a nutritionist, I had cupboards full of all these supplements. But what I would say is find a brand that you trust, that and because I believe that everybody does need a multivitamin to plug these nutrient gaps. Mm. And, you know, obviously we talked about the Alive range, but the other thing that with the Alive range that we have is a new unique blend of 26 fruits and vegetables across the range. So it's a top up. It's a lovely
top-up. Is that in the form of a capsule?
A dry powder.
Of a powder, right. So you can put it into like a smoothie.
Exactly. It's the dry powder within either the gummy format or the capsule or the tablet.
Okay. Oh, okay. I've got it. Got it. Right. Okay. So it's really super easy on the go.
So yeah, exactly. So that is going to top up levels, but it's, you know, looking at a multivitamin, a mineral that has got, you know, is a complete multivitamin mineral. The work has been done for you.
What would that have in it then, typically? What does your one have?
It would have all of the vitamins, vitamin A, C, D, E, all the B vitamins.
All the Bs. Mm.
And then most of the minerals as well. Mm-hmm. Depends with the gummies, there's less minerals in them because they're a gummy and it's hard to cover the taste of minerals, as you can imagine. Some of them don't taste great. But in capsule form, then it's fine. And therefore, you know, you're getting a top up, you know, of magnesium. I mean, iodine, particularly for women.
Yeah, iodine's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because when I first came across that word about a year ago, I think I'd forgotten the word. I mean, I literally had. And then I sort of thought, oh, my God, that's just the kind of thing your grandma used to talk about, iodine. It's not very fashionable, is it? We don't think of it.
No, I know. We don't think about it. I don't know why. It's not a very sexy vitamin.
No.
Mineral, is it? I know. I don't know why that is. But it's interesting because one of the reasons that we've become more deficient in it is because one of the best sources is dairy, surprisingly. Yeah. And that is actually only because of the way that they clean the teats and the dairy equipment. That's where you're getting the iodine from. So it's a very slightly strange way of getting it. Mm. But that, you know, has been a factor. But of course, a lot of people are, you know, not having dairy now. Mm. So it's then, you know, available in fish. So kelp is a great source of iodine, seaweed, which, you know, these foods are becoming much more, you know, kind of on trend, aren't they?
But aren't I right in thinking that you can apply iodine topically?
Yes. Well, that's where it comes from the dairy. Yes.
Right.
But much better to, you know, to have it. Generally, a good multivitamin, a mineral, will have iodine
right
in it, so that you can top it out. And you don't, again, it's a micronutrient. It's not, you don't need to have huge amounts, but we need it. I mean, women, you know, especially need it. You need it to produce thyroid hormones.
Right.
So, you know, women, as they go through the menopause, for example, the thyroid can get quite upset. But also children need it. We need it for cognition. We need it for growth and development.
Yeah. And what about the omega-3s? And
the omega-3s, absolutely. And again, we know from National Diet and Nutrition Surveys, we're very deficient. So government recommendations for oily fish, which is the best source of omega-3s, are 1 to 2 portions a week. But obviously, a lot of people don't like fish. And of course, lots of people are vegetarian or vegan and don't eat fish. Mm. So then you've got to look to other sources, such as flaxseed or pumpkin seeds, but then you have to have quite a lot more to make sure that you're having enough. So I would always say to people to take an omega-3 supplement as well, because again, it's so crucial. You need it for your heart, you know, your joints, your hormones, your brain. Yeah. I mean, the brain is 20 to 30% fat, and a lot of that is the essential fats.
Yeah, I get a bit freaked out when I hear of people who are on kind of low fat diets, you know, and everything sort of reduced fat, you know, and then don't get me started on artificial sweeteners, you know.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No.
It's really scary, isn't it, actually? And then, you know, you mentioned obviously the gut health and the importance of that. So I'm guessing that the probiotics won't be included in a multivitamin. So would you recommend that people take some kind of good quality probiotic as well?
Yes, certainly. And depending on what's going on, I mean, I would say generally, you know, take a course for maybe 3 months and then maybe at least 3 months for each year. So if in somebody in kind of normal situations, yes, take a course, and then they don't necessarily need to take them all the time. However, because so many people are on medication, whatever that is, so many people have antibiotics, all sorts of things, all of these things and stress wipe out the gut bacteria.
Yeah.
So again, it depends where you are in your health. And also, you know, as I say, a lot of people are struggling with their gut health anyway, and sometimes that is just what we call dysbiosis, so where we have an imbalance in the gut bacteria, and sometimes just, you know, a course of probiotics can correct that. And now we've got so much research on probiotics as well, we can target specific strains for particular health concerns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some help more with constipation, some more, you know, for female problems, you know, urinary tract issues, all sorts of things. So,
And would you recommend fermented foods as well in terms of their probiotic value?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
So kefir and kombucha, you know, all of that. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, really lovely.
It's good to hear, because that's a great alcohol-free drink. We love it. And kefir. Yeah, and kefir. I'm loving the, there's a fantastic water-based kefir from Agua de Madre. I don't know if you've tried it. It's really good.
Oh, no.
Sparkling water kefir. Super good.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I will try that.
So tell us a little bit then about, you know, specifically for people when they first stop drinking. You know, we know that there's that everything will have been depleted. It's just that we won't have been noticing, because you know, whatever happens, oh, never mind, I'll have another drink. But when you stop, you kind of start, you know, you notice this stuff. You notice that you're not sleeping very well. You notice that you're feeling bloated. You notice that you haven't really got your mojo back, and you're feeling a bit down, and everything feels very chaotic. And of course, you know, we know that this is due to this, you know, the brain chemistry. So what would be the kind of basics that you would recommend for anyone who's stopped drinking, who's probably been drinking daily for years, or certainly binging at a weekend? You know, what would be the good nutrients to put back?
Well, certainly the B vitamins, which we get, you know, back to what I was saying, really, if they followed the, you know, sufficient protein, low glycemic and rainbow diet, then they are going to be getting the nutrients. They are, you know, they are going to start to be able to replenish. And, you know, the B vitamins that we get, you know, a lot in whole grains. So quinoa is fantastic. You know, buckwheat, you know, all of these lovely sort of grains and seeds are fantastic for, you know, helping to replenish the B vitamins, because we need those to produce, as we were talking about, the hormones, you know, the serotonin. Again, they're going to be feeling a bit down. So that, you know, that's a lot of that is lack of serotonin. So very important. Zinc is another really key mineral in terms of how we feel mentally, you know, because it's involved in so many different enzyme reactions. So again, you know, fish is great for zinc. But, and this is where, you know, having a really good high potency multivitamin will also help. So, you know, underpinning the diet, those three key, you know, look at it in those three key ways, and then having, you know, a multivitamin as well, and looking to the omega-3s, because again, with the brain, that they, you know, the whole brain chemistry, as you quite rightly say, will have been, you know, confounded. So omega-3s are essential for that. And I talked about zinc as well. That's very important for brain health.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, just mentioning just for women who are, you know, sort of heading into the menopause, again, you know, what else can they do in addition to, you know, eating well and making sure they have this multivitamin? Is there anything else that's very specific, would you say?
Well, certainly women going through the menopause, their estrogen levels are going to be dropping, and you can naturally help to replenish those by eating phytoestrogenic foods. So beans, lentils, flax seeds are fantastic. So food,
but just like putting flax seeds on porridge or cereal or something.
Exactly. Because they contain isoflavones.
Right.
So and we know from lots of research that if you are replenishing some of these with isoflavones to replenish the estrogen levels and get the estrogen receptor sites full again, then women's symptoms can be, you know, reduced, because of course they're, you know, they could be starting to feel symptoms maybe 10 years before they go into menopause, can't they? Yeah. And these fluctuate as well. So these perimenopause years, you know, things come and go throughout that time. But it is because the hormones are fluctuating, but also, you know, essentially the estrogen levels will start to drop. So and soy as well. Soy products are really good. You know, soy milk, soy yogurts, but also soy, you know, soybean products, you know, and also tofu, tempeh, fermented foods are great as well.
Yeah.
So certainly, you know, adding to that with like flax, edamame beans.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good, aren't they? I finally found out where to buy them frozen. Yeah. I've been searching everywhere. Yeah. But do you not think there's, you know, there's all this controversy around soy, isn't there? Or there has been in the past. I mean, do you think it's okay to drink soy milk then?
Well, I wouldn't be drinking gallons and gallons of it. I would be trying to get the isoflavones, you know, from other sources. I would have some. And I, you know, I often drink soy, but I have other milk. So I love oat milk, for example, and I might have almond milk sometimes. Yeah. So again, having a variety, no, I wouldn't be drinking gallons and gallons of it. I mean, you know, fermented sources are great. And obviously, as you quite rightly say, milk, it's not as pure, you know, a source as say tempeh or tofu. So fine to have, but again, don't be drinking gallons of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting as well, though, isn't it? You know, with the almond milks and the various milk, you know, plant-based milks that you buy, they've got a load of other stuff added. Do you not find?
No, it's really hard to find. You know, the problem we have is our food chain is not perfect. And this is another reason for supplementing, because even though we think we might be having a really good diet, you know, we don't, there's a lot of imperfections within that, within the food chain.
Yeah, exactly.
All these added, you know, preservatives and all sorts of things. It's really hard not to have these things coming into the diet in some way.
Sure. And of course, I can't, you know, talk to a nutritionist without saying the S word, the sugar word. And obviously, it's a big thing for people when they stop drinking, you know, almost without fail, they get a sugar head on, of course. And you know, find the ice cream calling to them in the middle of the night or whatever. So what would be your tips for, you know, just helping to curb those cravings and alternatives to sugar?
Well, again, that's blood sugar balance. Yeah. So cravings, I mean, chromium, for example, helps with sugar cravings. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And would that be in a multivet?
You get it in a multivet. But you could also get it in, again, whole foods. But again, balancing the blood sugar levels. So that is protein at every meal.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how, you know, sometimes you might get a sugar craving and you think you're about to go for a biscuit or whatever. If you had a handful of nuts and seeds,
it would.
And I know people go, oh, how dull. But you can, and honestly, the number, because obviously a lot of people I see have, I spend my life talking about blood sugar balance with people, because it's an issue, because it affects every other hormone in the body. We have to get that right. But it's amazing how people say, do you know, after a week and a half, that those sugar cravings went.
It does.
There's definitely that initial, obviously, panic, you know, of course. And that, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And that's got a searching for what I can have as a replacement. But honestly, it goes. And if you get that protein, it will make an absolute difference. And also, you know, the other thing is, you can allow yourself a treat sometimes.
Yeah.
It isn't about a total life of denial, is it?
Mm.
You know, it's okay. If you're primarily in balance, you know, if you have a treat day on a Saturday, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
As long as you're, you know, this kind of the 80-20 situation can work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, as you said, a lot of it is it's sort of reaching for the sugar when it's, we're not necessarily hungry. It's just an anxious feeling sometimes. And you know, I have this phrase, you know, sometimes we have to look for, you know, what is it you're really looking for? Is it that you want some sweetness in your life, you know, rather than actually a bag of Haribos or seven donuts? Is it actually just that you need to feel better? And there are other ways to do that.
Absolutely right. Yes, it's about kindness to yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, we could go on for hours, but is there anything else that you'd like to just add on?
We've covered a lot, haven't we, Jane?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. So tell us a bit more about where we can find the live range then.
So we can find it online at www.feelaliveuk.com. And the range is also in Holland and Barrett.
Susie, it's been great to chat to you. I'm definitely going to have you back because there's so many more things I want to talk to you about. But we can't bombard people with everything at once, right? So if you do me the honour of coming back on the show again, I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks very much.
Susie Sawyer, clinical nutritionist for Nature's Way, Feel Alive UK. You can find the links in the show notes. Don't forget, we cover a lot of nutrition stuff, a lot of wellbeing stuff in the Sober Club. We very often have people interviewed who do Q&As for us. Coming up this week, we've got a menopause expert. Kate Bash is going to be doing an interview. I'm going to be doing an interview with Kate and she's going to do an exclusive Q&A for Sober Club members. So, you know, it's got to be worth joining us, right? It's a very small monthly fee and an amazing amount of value. So do check it out if you're interested, thesoberclub.com. And as I've said before, it's, you know, it's for everyone. It really doesn't matter what level, in inverted commas, what stage you're at, because it's very supportive and we focus very much on the what's next. And it is very small. It's not one of those massive kind of groups that have thousands of people. It's very small, so you will absolutely be heard, as it were. Connection really is everything. I do believe that. So a reminder, please vote for me in the British Podcast Awards. It's britishpodcastawards.com. You need to click on listener choice or listener's choice. Write the name of the podcast. It's called Alcohol Free Life, Janie Lee Grace. And then click on the email that they send you to verify your vote. Check out all the various stuff we have on offer. We have some great competitions, by the way. Don't forget about that. You know, with my other hat on, all the stuff I do around holistic living products and services. So if you head to imperfectlynatural.com, giving you a lot of websites here, then there's a whole bunch of articles on natural products and services and some alcohol-free drinks stuff there, because I've got my Platinum Awards running at the moment. And if you click on competitions, there are competitions to win all kinds of lovely health and well-being products, including competitions to win some fantastic alcohol-free drinks. There's a whole bunch of comps still live. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I know we've got a nice competition from the Jomo Club to win their subscription box. We have something from Bax Botanicals in there. If we haven't, it's going to be live any day. Let me see what else. Oh, we've got something on the way from Drink, D-R-Y-N-K, that is. There's a bunch of others. So, yeah, it's really worth checking out. Enter, you never know. Got to be in it to win it and all of that. Don't forget, you know where I am if you want to contact me. Absolutely reach out if you're struggling for help. There's always help available. And I'm going to leave you with one little tip this week, one little recommendation, if you like, and that is big yourself up. Yeah, big yourself up. None of us do this enough. We're so busy trying to think of something nice to say about other people. And if you, you know, had a friend or a loved one who was just feeling a bit down, feeling flat, as we were talking about earlier, you would think of something to say to them to cheer them up. You'd probably tell them something you admire about them, because that's what we do as human beings. You know, we try and make each other feel a bit better, but we rarely do it for ourselves. So go and look in the mirror and say something great to yourself, because you are absolutely worth it. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.